In Luke chapter 17, the Lord speaks about offenses and how it's impossible that they will not come. It's impossible for them not to come. Offenses will come. And the Lord speaks about those who offend the little ones in verse number 2. He talks to brethren about trespass one against another and what needs to be done. There needs to be always an attitude of forgiveness and an attitude of being willing to approach one another. We're always to be approachable. In verse number 5, the apostles said unto him, said unto the Lord, in Luke 17:5, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. That's what we want to take a look at this morning. We've been going and had several messages about mountains in the Scripture, mountains in the Scripture. And in this, we come full circle back to this place where Brother Caleb was dealing with the leadership there in Israel, and they were dealing with him, Brother Joshua. And so I invite you to turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. This is where we began this whole series of mountains in the Scriptures, and the theme of that and the theme of this is what Brother Joshua said, give me this mountain, and that the Lord can help us with the mountains that we face. We face many different kind of mountains in our lives, and we've taken a look at different mountains through the Scripture. I've asked each one of us, what is your mountain? We all have our failings, our difficulties, things that we wrangle with and wrestle with. And we come full circle here, taking a look back at this mount that Brother Caleb asking for, and taking a look about how it was in his life. Don't forget about what the apostles requested of the Lord, increase our faith. And let's take a look at this brother this morning and see about this mount that he is speaking about. In Joshua chapter 14, it says these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, the heads of the fathers of the tribes of Israel, the children of Israel, distributed for inheritance to them. So it's at this time, 40 years has passed, they've wandered through the wilderness, that previous generation has died off because of unbelief, and now the children are there getting ready and entering into the land. Brother Joshua is in the stead of Brother Moses. He's the leader of the people appointed by God, and he has, the Lord has appointed also others, princes of the different tribes of Israel, to distribute this land. We come here and it's telling about who's getting what. Verse number 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. The first thing we want to look at here in this chapter, and what we see with Brother Caleb, is that he had a promise. He had a promise from God, and he's bringing that to recollection to Brother Joshua. Brother Joshua knows about that promise, and Brother Caleb, listen, brothers and sisters, he had held on to this promise for 40 years. 40 years he had held on to this promise. And you and I were subject to whine and cry and complain about the things that we deal with. And may our Lord help us to see this brother was faithful unto the promise that he had been given by God some 40 years ago. It had come to pass. It had come time for him to receive that promise. And he had held on to that for years. We come over here to the book of Numbers, and we want to see how it is with Brother Caleb and what was done in that day. Going back, rewinding back to the time of that promise given. And in Numbers chapter 13, we've got a lot of scriptures to cover, but we'll do so quickly. To remember back, to flash back to that time where Brother Caleb seized a hold of that promise that he had. In Numbers chapter 13, verse number 1, the scripture says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." So the spies, as we refer to them, 12, one from every tribe, were appointed to go and to spy out the land. The thing is that 10 of these, as you and I understand, I pray you know this account, 10 of these were looking at that spying to be, can we or can't we do this? But two men went knowing that we're just going to find out what we're going to do. See, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, verse 2, which I give unto the children of Israel. Just a few words, but you know what? Brother Caleb grabbed a hold of that. Which I give. It's a done deal. God says it's a done deal. Oh, you all are going to have to march in there, and you all are going to have to fight, but I will give you the land. I've given you the land. And Brother Caleb held on to that promise. We see in verse number 6 that he was one of the men, and this man is he's a young man in this day. He's a young man in this day, and we see of the tribe of Judah, and I find that significant. I wonder about that, of the tribe of Judah. I think about the Lord Jesus being the line of the tribe of Judah. There Judah was represented in faithfulness and obedience to the Lord. Brother Caleb is there being persuaded of this. They go to the land. It's a great and wonderful land. It's just like the Lord had said, better, as Brother Mark mentioned, like it's going to be for us in glory with our Lord. Better than we can even imagine. It was a wonderful land, like the Lord had promised and had said. In verse number 22, we read in this chapter, "And they ascended up by the south and came to Hebron, where a high man, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were." Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. You remember about the grapes. You remember about the bounty that they told. And this was a place that they passed by, Hebron. This place of Hebron, which we need to remember that. And when they returned, Joshua and Brother Caleb said, "Let's go." But we find in verse number 27 a different take by those other 10. They went and came to Moses, it says in verse number 26, of the congregation of the children of Israel, and came back to them and showed them the fruit of the land. Verse 27, "And they told him, and said, We came to the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Remember that cluster of grapes? They carried it on a pole between two of them. That's how great it was. I mean, it was something beyond anything they'd ever seen. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land," verse 28, "and the cities are walled." Remember Jericho? "And very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." What's significant about them? We'll see. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites. They are there. They dwell in the mountains and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Verse 30. "And Caleb stilled the people before God." He stilled the people before Moses, rather. So there was this complaint on the part of the 10 spies. And they're bailing out on what the Lord has given them and provided for them and assigned them to do. They said, "We just can't go do it. These people will whip us and lick us all over." But Brother Caleb and Brother Joshua remembered the promise. They remembered the positive tense that the Lord had said, "The land which I give unto the children of Israel, it's going to be done." And so here we see in this murmuring and this resistance and this fear about the inhabitants of the land, who is it that stands up and says, "Wait, listen"? He remembers the promise. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it." I mean, let's turn around right now and take off and go. Verse number 30, "For we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. They were tall. They were giant-like," or giants. "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which are come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." And so they rebelled against the promise of the Lord. Brother Caleb says, "No, listen, we can go. We can do it. Because God is with us." He remembers, Brother Caleb, those days, as we read there in Joshua 14. He remembers what the Lord had promised. He remembers that rebellion. Of course, that rebellion caused that whole generation to pass. In Numbers chapter 14, we see more about this, and we see about the testimony regarding this man. In verse number 6, we pick it up here. We don't have time to read it all. The congregation, these men are destroyed, and the Lord utters some of the things that he's going to do. And it says here, as this rebellion is at hand, Moses and Aaron fall on their faces, and the people, the children of Israel, are complaining. And it says here, "And Joshua the son of Nun," in Numbers 14:6, "and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." They were grieved by this rebellion of their brethren. They rent their clothes. And clothes in that day were something way different than what the way you and I consider clothes today. I mean, we live in this disposable age. But for a person to rent their clothes and tear their clothes to show a great point of grief was a great thing. These were some of those clothes that the Lord had blessed already there in the desert. And they rent their clothes. They said, "This is wrong. This is evil. This is a wicked position." "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel," verse 7, "saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." And so they make their appeal to them and said, "If the Lord's given it to us, it's okay for us to seem like grasshoppers before the giants. That's the way the Lord works. That's the way the Lord works. It'll be by His power that we'll go in. And the Lord does delight in us." He says, if the Lord delight in us, it's like, well, sure, doesn't the Lord delight in us? He's brought us this far. He's delivered us out of Egypt as He has. He said, He's not making it a question if the Lord delight in us, but He does delight in us. And He's promised this. He held to the promise that the Lord had given. He says in verse number 9, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord." He said, you're not going against Moses. You're not going against Aaron. You're not going against me. And Brother Joshua, you're going against the Lord. We need to hear and believe what our Lord has told us. "Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us." Bread's easy to eat, isn't it? Unless it got overbaked. What water on bread just kind of makes it melt away. He said, they're there for us to eat up. They are bread for us. For their defense is departed from them. He held to the promise. He held to the one that gave the promise. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. Fear them not. But the congregation bade stone them with stones. Did that make Brother Caleb and Brother Joshua change their mind? I mean, we're talking a million, million and a half people are looking to take up stones. They stood alone. Brother Moses, Brother Aaron, Aaron's sons, they understood and they were for what the Lord had said. But they take up, the congregation bade stone them with stone. Let's do away with these men. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. The Lord came down and showed His glory. The Lord threatens to destroy them. He says about this provoking people, they won't believe me, verse number 11. They won't believe me, the Lord says. And the Lord, Moses, Brother Moses intercedes for them once again. And even the Lord says that he'll do something with him. He does that in a few different cases. We come down here in verse number 19. Moses declares unto the Lord and beseeches the Lord, "Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even to now," so forgive them again, Lord. Forgive them for their rebellion. Verse number 20. "And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word." Wow. What place with the Lord Brother Moses had. "I have pardoned according to thy word." He besought the Lord for that great multitude of people. And the Lord pardoned them. "But as truly as I live," the Lord speaking in verse 21, "all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory," remember that early on at Sinai, we looked at that. 70 elders of the tribes of Israel went up on the mount with Moses and saw the glory of the Lord and ate before him. They were privileged to see the Lord and the glory that he revealed to them in that day. And that's what the reference is here. "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb." And I want us to remember that. Remember those words. "But my servant Caleb." A servant hears what the master says and does it. He has all faith and confidence that what the master wants done, he does. He has all confidence and all assurance that what the master has said for him to do, he should do and obey in. And the Lord refers to our brother in that way. He says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and it followed me fully." Hear that? The Lord says he followed me fully. "I said go, and he was going to go. I said I promised the land, and he believed that I was am going to do it. And yet does. He hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." And so, Brother Caleb, as we continue on in this point, coming from Joshua 14, and this flashback, this rewinding, Brother Caleb heard the word of the Lord and believed him in it. In verse number 30 of the same chapter 14, "Doubtless ye shall not come into the land," speaking of the rebels, "concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun." The rest won't. They will not come in it, but these two, and I believe their households, will. They will come into the land. They believe the Lord. Verse 31, "But your little ones, which he said should be a prey," that was one of their complaints, "our children will be killed. Our children will die. Our children will be swallowed up by the inhabitants of the land, which he said should be a prey. Them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness." Well, that's some strong language, isn't it? But I tell you what, that's what disobedience of the Lord brings. It's a great error. It's a great error to not hear and believe and trust and follow what the Lord tells us. It is a great error indeed. And the Lord speaks in that rough way unto them. He said, "Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness." Verse number 33. "And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms." Interesting that the Lord refers to it that way. Why? They went desiring another way. rather than the Lord that they had, rather than the way that He gave unto them. He shall bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Verse 34, after the number of the days which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. You will reap what you have sown. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Right there. Right there. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. In rebellion against the Lord and going against the Lord, not believing the Lord and His promise, there does come a time when it's too late. It's too late to go back. It's too late. We know in the accounts in the Scriptures that the congregation of Israel thought that they could go ahead and, well, okay, now we'll go ahead and do it now. We'll do it. Well, the Lord said, believe me when I say it. Not believe me when I chastise you and show you my power and then you undertake to do it. Do it in the day that I say to go. May the Lord help us in that. In verses number 64, in Numbers chapter 26, let's go here and see what the Lord says regarding Brother Caleb. In Numbers chapter 26, we come to this time of 40 years being spent in the wilderness for 40 years in their sojourn. All those people die that the Lord said would die. We're coming close to that time. We're at that time that we read there in Joshua chapter 14, and we'll return to that. And you know who's listed here amongst the princes of Israel that'll distribute the land? Brother Caleb. Now, you think about that sight, and here in recent times we was with someone, and we kind of mused about that and considered about that, how that would be. You've got these men that are 59 years old or less, princes of Israel. You've got Brother Joshua, who is in Moses' stead. And then you've got this old man, 80 years old, 85 years old, 60, 70 years old, something like that. See, those 20 and older that were counted for war died in the wilderness. So of all these princes of the other 11 tribes, they can be no older than 59, except this fella, Caleb. He stood out, didn't he? He's a prince of Judah and has been since that day 40 years ago when he was sent out. And he was there listed among them. We read in verse number 64 of Numbers 26, but among these there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priests numbered, when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai, speaking of the multitude. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness, and there was not left a man of them, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. They stood out. Their faith and the promise and the word of the Lord caused them to stand out indeed. In Numbers chapter 32, they're taking the land. They're taking the land. They've taken land on the east of Jordan. And there's an issue there regarding Reuben and Gad, those tribes. And they said, this is our lot and this is our portion. We're cattlemen and we're going to stay on this side. And Moses is quick, or the brethren are quick to remind them about what had happened. And it says here, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, they said, we're going to stay here, Moses. And Moses reminded them of the rebellion. We don't have time to read that. You can read that on your own. I trust you know about it. He reminded them how all that went. And what is it that he reminds them in Numbers 32, verse number 12? Verse number 11, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. You know, you and I, we don't like to be used as an example in front of people. That makes us feel awkward, doesn't it? You know what? These brethren for years got used as an example of faith in the Lord. And you know what? They're not men that are proud of themselves. But what blessings do we miss when we don't hear and obey our Lord and what He's commanded us to do? What He's commanded us to follow? So these men were faithful. They believed. They believed and put legs on the faith of what the Lord told them. They were faithful unto the promise of the Lord. In this continued division in the land, we see in chapter 34 of Numbers, chapter 34 and verse number 19. Verse number 16, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, these are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you, Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one prince for of every tribe, and divide the land by inheritance, who's first. And the names of the men are these, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh. Over and over, he believed the Lord. He's my servant. He follows me. And in Deuteronomy, as Brother Moses preaches unto the nation and unto the tribes of Israel as they go in to take the land, he's not going to go in himself because of disobedience unto the Lord. But he reminds them again. He reminds them again. Save Caleb, Deuteronomy 1:36, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, speaking of the land, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. 40 years later, that promise is reiterated again by the prophet, by the man of God that was their leader. We come back to Joshua chapter 14, where we started, and it's time. And in this chapter, we see the promise, and we see that the history of that as we took a look in Numbers and otherwise, that Joshua or that Caleb is holding on to this promise yet before Joshua. In chapter 14, we come to verse number 7 in this dialogue. Listen, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. Here we see our brother had a mission. He didn't shy back from that calling of the Lord to go out and to spy out the land. He said, the Lord wants us to do it. I'm on board. I'm doing it. I'm following in it. He wants me to go. I'm going to go. And he did. He says he's rehearsing this. I was 40 years old then when Moses sent us out, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. What was in our brother's heart? The word of the Lord. The promise of the Lord. He had heard from the time that Moses showed up on the scene in Egypt what the Lord was going to do for Israel and where he was going to take them, how he was going to deliver them. And he believed the word of the Lord. He believed the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord was in his, it was in his heart, not that of Egypt. And not that thought of the Lord taking out them out in the wilderness and killing them. There were those that complained that way. Would to God we'd have died in the wilderness. You know, what kind of wish is that? How do you want to die, child of God? Do you want to go out of this life running from the call of the Lord and what the Lord has given us to do? Or peradventure we die for the cause of Christ and the sake and calling of the Lord. Which is better? We're going on to be with the Lord. But they had lost a vision about who their Lord was. And here our brother has a mission. He recalls the mission in that day. He was ready for it then, and he's ready for it now. In verse number 8, we see his faithfulness. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. God had spoken. You think about that? Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands said, we're going to stone you, boy. We're going to stone you, Caleb. We're going to stone you, Joshua. And Joshua and Caleb said, go ahead. We're trusting the Lord. We're believing the Lord and what He has said. He was faithfulness, this call of the Lord. And then in verse number 9, we see this, where he says, Moses swear on that day, saying, surely the land whereupon thy feet, whereon thy feet have trodden, shall be thine inheritance. That, Brother Caleb took it to heart. Where he walked. Kind of sounds like Abraham, doesn't it? It's akin to that. Caleb believed it. Caleb believed what the man of God said. The feet, the whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Followed him, as the Lord said, his servant. We see a mission that he was faithful to, his faithfulness in that, the recall of the promise again. And then in verse number 10, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Hear that? The Lord has brought me to this day. He has kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, so he's 85 years old, isn't he? Even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Our brother, we see exhibited here an understanding by the word of God and faith in it. Can you imagine every day getting up in your tent, God's made me a promise. I'm going to have that land that I walked on. God's made me a promise, year number 23, year number 32. We can't imagine that, can we? Year number 37. You reckon the brother was counting down the years? The Lord had said 40. You think Caleb believed that? 39, he's going home, he's there, whatever they're doing and moving around, and as they camp and they set it, pick it all up and then set it all back up, he tells his wife, next year, darling, next year. We're going into the land. He was faithful. He believed the word of the Lord and he hung on to it. He clave to it. Verse number 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day of that Moses sent me, and my strength as my strength was then, even so my strength now for war, I'm ready to fight, both to go out and to come in. He held on to that word of the Lord and had faith in it. And then we see this, and I kind of fear in consideration of this, we could learn from this. Our brother was not afraid to claim the promise of the Lord. You know, we've got a lot of things in the world and different religions, different denominations that we've allowed to steal our joy and to steal our excitement about the Lord. And emotion for emotion's sake is not worship of the Lord. But I tell you what, the blessings and the touch of the Lord, because we are an emotional folks, will stir us to emotion. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, emotion for emotion's sake is that of the charismatics. But we, by the faith of God, the Word of God, if we are stirred to joy and happiness and blessing in our Lord, may we rejoice in our Lord. And may we seek to claim the promises that our Lord has given us. Our brother did so. Verse number 12, Joshua, now therefore, I've told you what Moses said. You remember it. I've told you what Moses said, because the Lord said it unto him. You know it so. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. It's time. I'm ready. I'm ready to take what the Lord has promised me. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. He claimed the promise. Do you know the promises of your Lord? I tell you what, if we don't know the promises of our Lord, we can't claim them. We can't bring them back to remind our Lord about them. If we don't know the promises of our Lord, we don't know about our future. And may we know those promises, and when it's appropriate and right, may we claim those promises and remind our Lord what He has promised us. Our brother did. He says, it's time. Give me this mountain. Brother Joshua, you remember. And he claims the promise of the Lord by faith in his Lord. He said, the Lord's with me. I'll drive them out. You know what? From the human standpoint and what we understand, you know what Brother Caleb wanted? From the human standpoint, he wanted the toughest ground to take. He wanted the toughest ground to take. In conclusion, here in chapter 14, we read in verse number 13, "And Joshua blessed him and gave Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron," remember he said, "give me this mountain, Mount Hebron." And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. There's a city there too, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, the giants, and the land had rest from war. We come to chapter 15. We come to chapter 15 of Joshua, and we read in verse number 13 this. The Lord promised it. Caleb waited on it. He wanted it 40 years ago, but the people were contrary to it. He was faithful to wait for that 40 years along with them. You know, Brother Caleb didn't say, "I'm quitting you all and I'm going my own way." But he stayed because he is the Lord's people and he stayed with the Lord's people. And he didn't run from the punishment and chastisement even of the whole nation of Israel. But he stayed there where the Lord put him. And you know what? It was so. What the Lord had promised, he brought to pass. In chapter 15, verse number 13, "And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak, and he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sepher." It came to pass. It was so. Our brother followed the Lord indeed. "And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And Othoniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off of her ass. And Caleb said unto her, What wouldest thou? Who answered, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs." The blessing of the Lord upon this man and upon his children for his faithfulness unto the Lord. In Luke chapter 17, the apostles, when the Lord declared about forgiveness one for another, he said unto them, "Increase our faith." Increase our faith. And I've always taken that this passage, what this is talking about, is they wanted to feel better about their service of the Lord than they were feeling. Our Lord says in verse number 6 of Luke chapter 17, "And the Lord said, If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." You believe that? Our Lord said it. Our Lord says it to us. Increase our faith. I think in this that our Lord's saying is, you've got what you need. You've got salvation by me. You've got me. And you've got my word. Now move on with it. Move on with it. It's your faith. Because see, faith is not this thing, again, unto itself, but it's faith in the Lord. If the Lord has called us, will He not bring us? If the Lord has saved us, will He not take us unto Him? If the Lord has given us a mission, will He not provide for that mission for us to go forth and do it? This life and this world and this calling, this salvation that we have, this church that we have, we've been put in, is it not all of the Lord? The Lord has not left it an open-ended affair, but He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a calling for us, and may we hear Him and follow Him in it. Increase our faith, Lord. So if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could do great things. It's just like the Lord when He had given the disciples power to cast out demons and to heal the sick and to do all those things that He did. And then He comes to the 5,000. He says, feed them. We don't have enough money. And we don't need to rail on them, but we need to learn. If they would have just said, Lord, bless this food and we'll start giving it out. It was that close. Because our calling is of the Lord. If you had this faith, you could say to this tree, be planted in the sea, and it would happen. But which of you, having a servant, you hear this? What was Caleb called by the Lord? His servant. He's mine. He knows he's mine. He knows I give the orders, I give the promises, I give the power. Remember what he said? I'm alive this day, 45 years later, because the Lord has spared my life and given me life. He said, I will be able to cast out those giants if the Lord takes care of me and helps me. And he was relying upon it because he knew that the promise of the Lord was that he would do so. Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, servant, you go sit down at meat. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, is what the master says, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. How is it? The servant serves the master. That's the way that it is. Doth he thank that servant? I think this is the key. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I trow not. In our day, we would say, I don't think so. I don't think so. That's what that word trow means, is to think. I don't think so. We are the children of the Lord. We are His servants. He's the one with the plan, the calling, the salvation, and the promises in the future. And we need to obey Him. Increase our faith. A servant's not expected to feel better about his calling. A servant's expected to go forth and do, to believe the master. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which were commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I tell you what, I got that message preached some time ago about being willing in the Lord's service or against our will. Which is better? I tell you what, may we as Caleb rejoice in our Lord. Rejoice in His promises. Hear Him, believe Him, and trust Him in what He has said and what He's called us to do. When He gives us a mission, may we pursue it wholeheartedly. And may we be found, as it said there in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, have followed me fully, the Lord said. May we follow our Lord. The mount of obedience and reward is Mount Hebron.